Holy Spirit comes on. That's the song we're singing. Do you like that song? Does it feel peppy on your inside? I'm not talking about peppy to your emotion. I'm talking about on the inside of you, that because the Holy Spirit reproduces. The Holy Spirit only has one ministry. It's the ministry of Jesus. If you have another ministry other than the ministry of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is not endorsing you. He doesn't care if you look good or not. The Holy Spirit does not care if you look good or not, okay? He cares that Jesus is glorified. So what he does is reproduce the life of Christ in me and in us, in you and in y'all, okay? So there's the you, the you all, the gospel, the individual, and the corporate. The Holy Spirit is conforming Christ. Here's the only thing he's doing. This is the Christian life. The Holy Spirit is conforming me to the image of Christ so he can go, you look like Jesus. I did a good job, right? So the Holy Spirit, he says, Molly saw some rough material and she said, I can do something with that if I can live long enough. If I can just give me 2 or 3 decades, I think I could turn him into something. Okay, here's what the Holy Spirit said. I found a you. I am so confident in my ability. I believe I can take a you and make you look like Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Now, he is so good at his job that at the end of the day, you're going to leave this earth. When you get to heaven, you are going to look like Christ because the Holy Spirit did a good job. If I look less like Christ this week than I did last week, it's not that the Holy Spirit's not doing a good job. It is that the material is resisting him. Does that make sense? And so there are 4 encounters, and we could look at it in the book of Matthew. We could look at 4 and 5. I'm not doing it right now, but this is all spontaneous. This is free, this advertisement. We could look at Matthew chapter 4. Then we could look at Acts chapter 2. In Matthew 4, we would see the Holy Spirit interacting with Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, we would see the Holy Spirit interacting with the New Testament church. There are 4 things in both encounters that you will see. Is that the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. Remember when Jesus was baptized? What happened? What happened when Jesus was baptized? He goes into the water, he comes up out of the water, and so we say dove because the Bible says like a dove, okay? But the Holy Spirit is not a dove. But there's a lot of symbolism. And so it's easy for Dan, me, you, and everybody in the history of the world to remember when Jesus was baptized, a dove came down. Is that not easy to remember? And then he goes, yeah, I want you to get that picture, but I want you to understand it's not, the Holy Spirit's not a dove. The Holy Spirit created doves, okay? But there's some real interesting things. Is a dove has 9 bones on its left wing and 9 bones on its right wing. And in the Holy Spirit, there are 2 different sets of gifts, and 9 of them are internal gifts, and 9 of them are external gifts, okay? The Holy Spirit will sit upon you for other people. He will fill you for you. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is creating the character of Christ in me. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is releasing the power of Christ through me. So I'm anointed with power to preach or to pray or to act or to give out food on the... Here's what the Bible says. You will give out food on the city square and somebody's life will be changed. Now, another group could do the same activity. It's only activity of the flesh. And the only thing that would happen is the flesh would be encouraged or helped. He goes, you will do things by the flesh that it will be first the natural, then the spiritual, is what Scripture says. You'll do something in the natural that the Holy Spirit will move on, and suddenly a whole life will be changed because they took a piece of bread. But that bread you had been praying over, it's an act of faith, you're doing an act, and here's what the Bible says. And they will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Different than just somebody handing out bread. Our end goal is that Christ's name be elevated and the the power of the Holy Spirit be released when we do what we do. Well, that can only happen by the anointing. Now watch this. You can worship. It was great. It touched your soul. And you go, man, that was nice. You'll forget about it by the time you hit the parking lot. Okay? But here's what the Bible says. The anointing will break a yoke. So what will happen is Larry will be up here hitting the drums. Those are just electric drums. There's 10,000 of them in the world. It's just electric drum, right? It's coming across speakers. There's nothing spectacular about that. Until the Holy Spirit anoints Larry's hands, he hits the drum, and all of a sudden, somebody out here could be free from a bondage that they've had 10 years, 5 years, 20 years. They're totally free. You go, what happened? I don't know, man. I got in there and worshiped. Those crazy people were singing. They were playing music and stuff. I get out in the parking lot, and I did not have the bondage that I had. Mark and I, that song right there, Mark and I were talking. We did it one Sunday morning. And he goes, on Wednesday, was it at work or in his shop, wherever, well, I forget exactly. Mark goes, I start thinking about that song. Grown man, strong, willed. Okay, ask his wife, right? He goes, on Wednesday, I'm thinking about that song. It starts playing in my mind. He goes, I think I'm going crazy or something. I just start crying as a grown man in a shop. No, I go, no, that wasn't music, Larry hitting a, that wasn't Larry hitting a beat on an electric drum. Though he did that. It was the Holy Spirit anointing the activity of a human being that has eternal consequence. Mm-hmm. And you can do that as a vet. A vet under the anointing, cutting a cat. I didn't say dog because I like dogs. No, I'm kidding. Make everybody on the internet mad. He's talking about cats getting cut. I said it was a vet. He was helping it, right? No. Okay. Guy catches a pass. He'll do it today. Somebody will catch a pass. They'll go across the end zone. What will they do to the ball? Slam the ball. And then somebody will come up. Oh, you made a great pass. And somewhere, some athlete will go, thank you, Jesus. I would like to see Dan do that with a cat. No, I'm kidding you. Right? No. The missionary or the pastor, or the football player, the Tim Tebow. We go, they were anointed to do their job at God got glory. And here's what I'm here to tell you. Everybody in this room can be anointed by the same Holy Spirit to do your job where you are among the people you're among, in order that Christ can be glorified because the anointing came on what you did. Isn't that amazing? That'll make you want to go to work tomorrow. Well, not really. Okay, so what does the Holy Spirit do? He infills. That gives me love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That enables me to live with me. The anointing enables Molly to live with me. No, the infilling is internal. It's the character of Christ. The anointing is, see, your spiritual gift ain't for you. That's right there in the Bible. The Bible says your spiritual gifting, the anointing, is for other people. It goes, it's for the body of Christ. I've heard people that were very good in spiritual gifting in particular areas. I go, man, why didn't you just use that on you? And they go, it didn't work when I tried to use it on me. It worked really good when I was using it out here. And I go, that's absolutely true. It's 1 Corinthians 13 and 14. It is that you are gifted for the sake of others. You are infilled for the sake of you. See, your peace or your joy ain't helping nobody until it helps you first. Does that make sense? If it is, that's called hypocrisy. It's fake, and you're trying to act like a Christian, and it's the worst thing in the world you can do. You try to act like a Christian, it'll turn you into a hypocrite before 9 o'clock, okay? It is the Holy Spirit in me, conforming me to the image of Christ, me submitting myself in order to walk in relationship with the Spirit of the Lord within me, and now all of a sudden I'm different than I used to was. And I'm supposed to different than I used to was until I get to heaven. Because anybody in here totally Jesus-like yet? My work's not finished. I'm going to have a job. I'm going to tell you something. AI can't help you. It's never putting me out of business. AI cannot put me out of business because it cannot conform you to the image of Christ. It can give you information. It cannot conform you to the image of Christ. Google has knowledge. The Holy Spirit has wisdom. You ain't never buying it anywhere else. Wisdom comes from God. But if you're a believer, let me help you out with something. All the wisdom in all of the universe resides within you. It's called the Holy Spirit. And he came in order that, A, we can have the character of God. Two, we can have the power of God. Does that make sense? And then the third thing the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit led Jesus, led him. How many of you would like to know where to go and just be in the right place at the right time? You know, about 80% of my being out of whack in life is my not knowing what to do or being in the wrong place at the right time or the right place at the wrong time, and it just seems like I'm out of sync. Do you understand out of sync? Molly and I can show you because I'll dance. We'll do it with music. When we dance at our house, we do it without music because you put music to it, I mess up. If there ain't no music to it, it's all good. All right? And here's life in the Holy Spirit is he's in me, he's on me, and he's leading me. There you go. And here's what I can do. I don't know about y'all. I've experienced this. To quench the Holy Spirit is to quench the fire that's on me. To grieve the Holy Spirit is to grieve the power that's within me. To resist the Holy Spirit is to resist the leading that he's giving. Three times in the Bible it tells us what sins of the Holy Spirit are. They are resisting, they are grieving, they are quenching. I'm quenching when I'm not letting the river flow out of me. Does that make some manner of sense? And I am grieving when I do those things that break God's heart, that break the internal relationship I have with God. Huh? He's really kind. The Holy Spirit's super kind. Here's what it takes to get right with it. Some of you guys, your wife is not yet conformed to the image of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to buy some flowers. You have to do some yard work. You might have to do a dish or two. Eventually, you'll get out of it if you're married long term. It might take you a minute, right? Let me tell you what it takes to get right with God. It's two words. I'm sorry. From your heart. Y'all, yeah. She goes, I say that all the time, but I don't mean it. She was talking about me. Huh? Now, here's what it takes. Here's what it takes. I'm sorry that I grieved you. I ask you to forgive me. Oh, he goes, that'll ungrieve me in a minute. That will release the power in a minute. Hey, Holy Spirit, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to wait till you show me. I'm not going to Google. I'm not going AI. I'm just going to sit here in a whole bunch of nothing until you show me something. Then he'll go, okay. You might have to wait a minute. Let me tell you something about God. He's got forever. You heard the joke about it. It was kid read in the Bible that a day is 1,000 years to the Lord. And he translated it, a penny would be to $1,000. Hey, God, would you give me a penny? God goes, in a minute. You'll catch it. And so when I am waiting on God, let me tell you what I'm doing. Molly tries to help me, and she tries to say, I am moving to music. You're moving. Why don't you try to get in sync with me moving to music? Now we're dancing. When the Holy Spirit is not speaking, he's waiting for you to slow down to his rhythm. Not mad, because he's not agitated. Does that make some manner of sense? And now, when there are people in the earth, groups of people, a you and a you all, groups of people that are filled with the Spirit, anointed with the Spirit, and led by the Spirit, they do activities. Could be the same activity they were doing before. Could be the activity other people are doing. But now they're doing it under the infilling, the anointing, and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it makes all the difference in the world. My wife says, I like it. We talked about some of these things. And in the scripture, you will hear about the Holy Spirit hovering. In the beginning, God created all things. You remember Genesis 3, and it says, and the Spirit of God, in the beginning, God created all things. And it says, and the Spirit of God moved on the waters. And that word is, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And I don't get really weird, but it is just like really cool when you read that in Hebrew. He was creating, but here's what it says. He vibrated over the waters until he vibrated the waters into his will. That one's cool right there. I need some Holy Spirit to hover over me until he vibrates me into the will of God. That'd be nice. But what we like and what we pray for, may the hovering spirit just fall. When the hovering spirit fall, may that power that's hovering over me fall on me. And that's called the anointing. In the scripture, it's the Spirit of God is now on me. And now I'm totally different than I was before the anointing. The Bible says of Saul, he didn't have the Holy Spirit. Then he had the Holy Spirit. And here's what it says. Samuel prayed for him. When Samuel prayed for him, the anointing came on him. And the Bible says, and it turned him into a different man. There was a different guy walking around after the anointing came on. Here's Saul's story. And then later in his life, he got so used to the anointing and God blessing him that he took it for granted. He didn't walk according to it. He started walking in sin. And the Bible says, and the Spirit lifted off him and he didn't know it. He just kept right on walking, thinking that life was the same as what it was. Wouldn't it be good to just have the Holy Spirit just anoint in a fresh way? That'd be a good thing right there. When I talk about, I'm totally off course, but I want to pray this one. This one's amazing. Anybody ever remember a guy in the Bible by the name of Samson? Anybody remember anything Samson did? Do you remember anything he did at all? I know he is in the Bible. It's Judges 9, if you ever want to look it up. What? Tore down gates. Say it real loudly so I can hear. I love that one. They tried to lock him into a city, and city gates would, it would have been 20,000 pounds, but as city gates, and the Bible says he just tore them off, huh? And now he's got just the gate. He don't have the whole threshold and everything. He's got just the gate, and it says he took their gates up in the hills and just dropped them off. All right, guys, remember, no cranes in those days. Figure out how to get that back. Huh? That was a cool one. At the end of his days, he's left the Lord. He's not following after the Lord. End of his days, he starts coming back to the Lord. All the Philistine generals and everybody are in a party, and they're using him as a party clown. Do you remember that? He has a little slave boy take him over to the pillars. What does he do? Do you remember that? But, and the Bible says that he killed more on that day than he had the whole. He fulfilled the destiny God had for him in the last months of his life that God had planned that would be the whole of his life. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for the grace of God. God will get you where you're supposed to go. He went the wrong way, and in the grace of God, God led him back to where he's supposed to be. He's in the right place at the right time. And though he sacrificed his life for the Lord, he accomplished the purpose that God had for it. That one's amazing. I'll tell you one more thing about him, and then I'll adapt just two things that I want to say. Next week, I'll go deep on what I wanted to say today. Today has been helpful. Is this okay? Samson, and I don't know where, this is Judges 9, you can read it. I don't know where you would find this out, but it said Samson could rip a goat in half. And I go, how do you know that? Who would even know? Who wants Sam coming with their family? There are some families you don't want coming to your house because of the way their kids don't act right. Can you imagine? Don't let Sam near the goats. Samson, the Bible says Samson could rip a goat. I go, dude, who even needs that? Somehow he could do it. It was the general anointing of God that was on his life. God was creating him as a warrior. He has the down payment of that even as a childhood. But I love this one. So what's his level of anointing? We're going to call it the goat ripper anointing, okay? He has goat ripper level of anointing. He's walking down the road, and this is what the Bible says. A lion jumped out. What is Samson's level of ripping? I just told you. He's a goat ripper. Huh? A lion jumps while the lion is midair. Read it, Judges 9. The Bible says, and the Lord super anointed him. When the lion jumps, Samson is a goat ripper. By the time the lion in the air is coming at him, by the time the lion hits him, he's a lion ripper. When the lion gets there, he catches it and with his bare hands kills it. Help us with something, and I'm going to tie it to what I was originally going to say. There are some anointings from God that never happen until the enemy jumps. You're at one level in your ability in God. All of a sudden, an overwhelming thing is coming at you. It's about to overcome you. And before it can land at the speed of Holy Spirit, the anointing on you is greater than the thing that is coming at you. Isn't that like really, really good news? Sometimes that supernatural, spontaneous, empowering anointing is linked to prayer. Most of the time in Scripture, that activity is linked to prayer. It is prayer that you have previously prayed, or prayer that you are presently praying. You will say, and I will say, God, I've asked you to anoint me, and you never did. I never felt it. I never knew it. I never saw a change until the difficult thing is in the air over your life. Then when it lands, you are already over anointed for the problem that you were under anointed for when it left. That's amazing. That's the goodness of God. And often it is linked to prayers that you thought were never being answered. Sometimes God leads me into a time, a season, I don't understand it. He just starts pushing you to more prayer times. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Life is just normal. It's going on as it's going on. And for whatever reason, you will just sense God saying, you need to extend your prayer time. He'll wake you up in the middle of the night. You'll get up in the morning, whatever the deal is. And all of a sudden, you'll go, I just need to be praying more. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It wasn't necessarily, you're not super spiritual, you're not amazing super saint, you're just everyday Christian Joe that is super saint. And you're just living your life, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will start praying more. And he goes, I know the future, you don't, and that lion is behind that, and you're about to walk into it. Let me prep you by having you pray. So we say, thank you, Jesus, to that. We want to become obedient. That's why I can't do the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. I need the infilling. I need the anointing. That helps me to pray. The infilling gives me character when I'm standing before the Lord in prayer, and the timing, or the Lord leading me. Now I'm praying the right thing at the right time. And at the end of the day, I don't get to raise my hand and goes, kudos to me. I'm all that. I was smarter than everybody else. That's not what it is. It's the Holy Spirit going, let's give glory to Jesus. You're being conformed into his image. That makes like total, complete sense to us. Okay? And so there are some times that it is prayer that I have previously prayed. There are some times that it is prayer that I'm presently praying, because by the grace of God, he led me into a prayer. And now let me transition, help all of us a little bit on a thing that I'll go deeper next week. Sometimes it is the prayer of somebody else that was praying before or during what you're going through. If you're a parent, because God's a good dad, if you're a parent, the Lord has had you pray for your children before they went through things. And sometimes, right, Jim? And sometimes you don't know that they're about to go through a particular thing. You just know, I need to pray for this kid. That's by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And you, all of a sudden, you're in a situation you can't get out of. Now you're super anointed. The anointing of the Lord is on you. You go, man, this is amazing. And you get through the problem. And it had nothing to do with your prayer life. It had to do with mama praying for you before it happened and while it happened. I personally believe that I stand before you today as a result of a mother who prayed for me, because I was a crazy guy going in a wrong direction. Everything she had raised me to do, I did none of that. And everything she had raised me not to do, I did every one of them. I got away from her. She wasn't a boss of me anymore, and life was good, and I was going to do it. And mama, she didn't overpreach me, but she overprayed me. Every time I'd see her, she'd ask questions. I knew the questions were the FBI and CIA simultaneously were gaining oversight and insight, so she knew how to pray against her wayward child. I know that's what happened. Not trying to find God at all. 165 feet over the city of Chicago on a steel pole, Jesus tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, boy, if I can say it like that. And at that moment, there was a conversion that happened in my life that I can't explain. I just know I wasn't looking for God, but he was looking for me. And there was a reason for that. And it was a mama that was praying. And now all of a sudden there's an anointing beyond my ability in a circumstance, not because I prayed previously or a present prayer. It's because somebody else prayed for me. It's called intercession. God hears it. And let me lay down. I've taught this before. I'm going to teach it very extensively next week. When praying for somebody, I call it the ABCs. I want to get to the C part today. I call it the ABCs. Pray against the devil or against the darkness. Pray toward believers. May a light shine in that darkness. May a Christian come and do something good around them. May a Christian say a thing. Man, there's so much people are scanning on their phone. When they're scanning on their phone, there's Christian stuff that comes across. And somewhere, somehow, God, I pray against the darkness that's blinding them. God, I pray that you would send a believer into that field. Would you send somebody to say something to my child? God, there's a darkness that's around their mind. Would you break the power of that darkness? You have three tools that the enemy cannot defeat when you are praying against the darkness. You have the Word of God. When the devil himself spoke to Jesus himself, Jesus said, "It is written." If the Bible was good enough for Jesus, it is good enough for me. It is good enough for my circumstance. It is good enough for my child or my friend or whoever it is. And so there's darkness that's in the mind. We'll look at that one next week. They can't see. I had a friend named Lowell. I used to have him come to church with me. He's blind. I would teach people about how to share the gospel. I'd have my friend Lowell sit on the front seat. He's got his little stick. Sometime he'd have his dog. And I'd say, Lowell, what color am I holding up? He'd go, Dennis, you know I'm blind. I don't know what color you're holding up. Lowell, how many fingers am I holding up? And I would do it until the people start getting mad. And they think that I'm making fun of Lowell. Then I would quote 2 Corinthians 4:4. If our gospel is hid, it is hidden from those who do not believe, because the God of this world has blinded their minds so that they cannot believe the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Then what I share with people is, Lowell cannot see how many fingers I'm holding up. Don't be mad at Lowell because he's blind. And you're arguing with people, praying for people, and their mind is blinded and they cannot see. And there is no hope for them to be able to see apart from the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that will be a light that shines into the darkness, and the darkness will never be able to control it. That's a good word. And now I'm praying, may the word of Jesus break through their mind. Number two, the word of Jesus. Number two is the name of Jesus. I've given you authority to traverse serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:19. And then it says, and they came back saying, Jesus, even demons are subject to us in your name. So the darkness is overcome by, one, the word of Jesus, two, the name of Jesus, three, the blood of Jesus. And they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, love not their own life unto death. Revelation 12:10. So I'm praying for somebody. I'm never praying from defense. I'm never praying, God, just protect them. I'm never praying, God, let them survive it. I'm praying, may the light of the gospel shine into that dark place. May the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of Jesus break in the darkness, that they be led into the light of the glory of the Son of God. Isn't that good? So darkness, okay, so I'm praying against the darkness, praying toward believers. I'm not going to touch that. Number three, I'm praying for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the same Spirit that's leading me is bothering them, even though they don't act like it. I can tell you how somebody's under conviction, they'll get meaner. They'll resist more. The more conviction they get under, the more they will go the other way. Don't get discouraged. It's a good sign, because you can't run away from God. Wherever you go, there he is. He says, I thought you'd never get here. Remember Jonah? Jonah's running from God. Gets in the boat with the guys. The boat starts tipping over. The fishermen say, you ain't tipping over our boat. They throw him out. A fish grabs him up. He started to back here, a bitter preacher going the wrong direction. Now he's in the belly of a whale. And God's sitting there tapping his foot saying, I thought you'd never get here. He goes, I factored in your darkness, and I'm waiting for you in the light. Against the darkness, toward believers, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Next week we'll go deep. I'm going to be done in 2 minutes. Conviction of the Holy Spirit, I want to preempt. I want to help us, okay? Conviction of the Holy Spirit, I'm praying two things. May the Lord, and I'll show you this in the Bible. It's about 5 times in the Bible. May the Lord cause his light to shine into the darkness of their mind. And you don't know how he's going to do it. The way he's going to do it will be different than you ever thought. You'll get it all set up. It won't work. And then what you thought will never work will work. And then somebody like me that everybody thought would never do something like this will all of a sudden contact them, and they'll think that we're off into something different. And the only thing I got to tell you is about the Jesus that saved me. And out of darkness will come a light that no one would have ever thought of. I have a friend told me this week. He said, I worked on the streets in Columbus. I've worked on the streets of Columbus for 10 years. One guy I've worked with on a regular basis for 10 years. He's the last guy I ever thought would get saved. chronic alcoholic, had a good life, drank himself into homelessness in the city of Columbus. This guy's always trying to get him turned around. Guy don't want anything to do with it, back off to his alcohol. He said about a month ago, he called me. He said, "Hey, John, I want to get saved." "John, I haven't preached to you, talked to you, anything. What in the world are you talking about?" "Yeah," he said, "I had a dream. Jesus came to me in my dream. And when Jesus came to me in my dream, I know I'm going to go to hell and be separated from God." And this is the guy's own opinion. He goes, "You're the only guy that's consistently preached the gospel to me. I need you to come and tell me how to be saved." John came and told him how to be saved. He goes, "He's the last guy I was thinking about. He's the guy I thought would never work. 100 times I've tried to help him. All the 100 times he just used me." He goes, "But this time he called." What happened? The light shined in the darkness. So conviction of the Holy Spirit is, may light shine in the darkness of their mind. And then it's in Acts chapter 2, may the power of the Holy Spirit be, and here's what it says, it cuts like a knife into their heart. May the light shine in the darkness of their mind. May the anointing cause the light to shine in the darkness of their mind. And may it pierce their emotions. Now quit with, now I'm going to quote this story right here. There's a blind guy. He's walking in the streets of Chicago. It's 10 to 12 o'clock at night sometime. I forgot the story exact time. He's walking down the street in Chicago, blind guy. There's traffic. There's not a whole lot of people. And he's walking along, and he has misjudged where the curb is. And he can sense, not a lot of people, but he can sense someone coming up toward him. And he steps off the curb he thinks he has more sidewalk. He's disoriented. And he steps over what he thinks he's moving over because he can feel somebody coming toward him. He thinks he's stepping to the edge of the sidewalk, and he's actually stepping into the middle of the road because he's already on the side. He thinks he's in the middle. He's on the side. He senses somebody come, and he goes to take a step. When he goes to take a step, he's actually stepping into the incoming night traffic in Chicago. And as he takes the step, there's a young man behind him that drops the groceries that's in his arm, and he grabs him. This is supposed to be a true story. Grabs him and pulls him out of the traffic. The blind man gets right here, and he's got him under the arms. And the blind man goes, "I thought no one was looking. I thought I was all And the young man said, "Sir, I have been behind you, watching you all the time." Isn't that a story of a human being walking in darkness, taking steps toward their own destruction, and Jesus Christ piercing the darkness to grab them, to bring them into his life? And many of them using your prayer as the net that catches them. Praying against the darkness toward believers and the conviction of the Holy Spirit that pierces the darkness of the mind and pierces the hardness of the heart. Good news. Anybody just want fresh anointing? I just want a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, a fresh infilling, and the clarity to be led by him. You mind to stand? I'm going to pray for us, and then we're just going to worship. Father, I thank you for just this fresh wind that's among us. We have a hunger in our individual and in our corporate heart that the Holy Spirit would be prevalent and prominent among us, that he would conform us to the image of Christ. We're praying that you would just infill us in a new way. We need joy and peace and love in us like we've never had before. We need new levels, new dimensions, new dynamics. That same love that's in the heart of Jesus be the love in our heart. That same peace, calm, assurance, be the peace and calm and assurance in us. That same joy that gives him strength, be the joy that gives us strength. We're just praying for a fresh growing of fruit in our emotion. That's like your emotion. That we see like you see, feel like you feel. And Lord, we need more anointing. We need our acts to have more power. We need more than just the prayers. We need the answers, God. We need more than just church. We need encounters with your presence in person. I just pray that just fresh oil from your presence just be a fresh anointing on us that strengthens us to do all the things you've called us to do and enables us to do it with power. Yeah, Lord, we need your leading. We want to do what you want, and we're asking that you would draw us into your rhythm, that we would live following after you in rhythm with you. We just need fresh insight, fresh impressions, fresh direction from your hand. May you come and fresh. Every place that the Holy Spirit has been quenched may be unquenched. Every place has been grieved, may be ungrieved. May there be no resistance. We just bow before you. We worship you. And we pray that there be a fresh encounter with you today that enables your river to flow through us and touch other people also. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
See is the best.